Good morning. Welcome to New Dawn. My name is J. Donald Walters. I'll be with you this next quarter hour talking about ways to find happiness, peace of mind, and wisdom to cope with the challenges in your life. Soon, I hope you'll be welcoming a new dawn of possibilities in yourself. Remember, whatever you want changed in your life, it begins with you. I'd like to begin today by reading from my little book of sayings called Do It Now. Be more encouraging of others and less critical. By too much criticism, you'll stifle their creativity and paralyze your own. It's often puzzled me, watching a movie, for example, or perhaps reading a novel, about a repressive regime, perhaps communism in Russia, or Germany under the Nazis, how the repressive dictatorial regimes that those countries have had think that they can get more out of people by cruelty, by sarcasm, by repressiveness, all the negative attitudes, as if by fear to rule people's creativity. I've never noticed that people can be creative when they're afraid. Their creativity is frozen, and all they can do is sort of fearfully do what is done before and hope that they're doing it exactly as it's done before, do it according to other people's expectations. Creativity demands an air of freedom. On the other hand, this is a very interesting point, that too much freedom, that is to say, without self-discipline, is not conducive to creativity. And this is something that many of our modern artists, musicians, writers, etc., have not understood. They've had the idea that to be truly creative in the arts, you have to have no restrictions at all, there must be no rules. And yet, when I look back over history, I see that the times when art has flourished the most wonderfully have been times when there have been rules. They're more or less self-imposed. There's no government forcing it upon them, but there are agreed on rules of conduct, rules of self-expression. For example, in France in the 17th century, the time of Racine, Molière, Corneille, those great dramatists who had pretty rigid ideas of what they could and could not do. Molière made a great fun of it. In fact, there was they called this whole movement the Les Précieux, the Precious Ones, and he had the he wrote a play called Les Précieux Ridicules, which is to say, the ridiculous precious ones. And yet, once that whole rule of what was right and what was proper to say and express was thrown out, art itself lost quite a lot. And if you look at the time of the Greeks, of Sophocles and the ancient Greek playwrights, for example, you see again that self-discipline that they imposed upon them made them much more creative, not less so. One of the eras in the arts that would seem to be the most impossible was that of the Muslim era, the Mughal Empire. According to the Muslim religion, people could not reproduce anything in nature. It was wrong to try to reproduce that which God had done. And so they had to resort to geometric patterns. And yet, in their geometry, in those beautiful domes and the lovely figures that you see on the, in the mosaics and so on, you find an exuberance of invention that really marked one of the high points in the creative, in the history, I should say, of creative art. And although you'll find on the Taj Mahal in India, for example, depicted things like flowers, you don't find depictions of people, at least not originally. In the Mughal art in India, of course, they did begin depicting people. But then I think also the art was probably, and I'm not really knowledgeable in this, probably on the downward slope. I don't know for sure, but I do know that that period when they felt that they could only express themselves in geometry, it was a period of exuberant creativity. In the rigid rhyme scans that we find in poetry, we find great poetry. And in the freedom that was expressed, particularly when Walt Whitman came on the scene, yes, there is beautiful, there are beautiful expressions, and there is a beauty to a certain extent in the very form, which was totally formless. And yet we do see something lost in the sort of magical incantation of the earlier poets. I think that poetry has been probably the greatest artistic expression in the English world. But what I'm really talking about is moral self-control. Now, with the campaign to make sex and violence and all the baser aspects of human nature up for grabs as far as artistic expression goes, we find that there is a great deal lost in that creativity. So, what am I saying? It sounds like I'm sort of paralyzing creativity by offering an alternative of too much freedom. But I don't mean that. I mean self-expression. I find that creativity comes after, I mean criticism comes after the surge of creativity. Criticism is that aspect which the artist has to apply to his creativity after he's expressed what he wants to say, and then says, well, but is it well expressed? Is it rightly expressed? Is it true? And with that, he's able to offer to other people an art form that will uplift, that will inspire, that will help, that will guide. Whereas if it's criticism from other people, if it's only a put-down, then you don't even have that first initial, that creative surge that comes when you seek to create. One of the problems with a tendency to be critical of others and not to be encouraging is that we get too close. If we could pull back a little bit, look at things in a sense as though they were distant or maybe even in the past, then we would be able to see them with that degree of non-attachment that would again become encouraging. We can look at the conquests, at the works of art and so on of the past, and they're far enough removed from us for us not to be tempted even to be too critical. I'd like to bring some music into this program, and I think that a very nice piece that would express that degree of detachment is from the Mystic Harp, an album of Celtic music played by Derek Bell, the famous harpist of the chieftains. And the piece I'd like to play is called Ancient Memories. With the winter winds howling out of door, says the brochure that goes with this album, dying embers in the fireplace reveal scenes of ancient triumphs and defeats, and somehow those triumphs seem somehow rounded without the suffering of others, of the enemy, and the defeats seem less crushing, and we tend more easily to accept the scenes as just a part of the play of life, the play of light and shadow on the screen of time. So let us hear, then, Ancient Memories from the Mystic Harp. Thank you. Be more of encouraging of others and less critical. By too much criticism, you'll stifle their creativity and paralyze your own. Joy to you, friends.